what is a digital drug?
It's intended to be a sound wave that causes the same chemical reaction in the brain, so the individual listening to it becomes intoxicated. There's been a lot of research that different universities have done to see if this is in fact the case, and to this point we don't have any scientific evidence that it does have this effect. We do have young people that appear to have this effect or state that they do, but there's nothing, no brain research, nothing that shows that it's effective in that way. And it is yet another way that the industry can market to kids and encourage them to get involved in things that will bring this type of effect, this intoxicating effect, whether it's a tobacco product, an alcohol product, or later on marijuana and other drugs, prescription drugs, that type of thing. And this is really an avenue for these young people to get hooked on that, because a lot of the advertising for these eye dosage music bites are that they give the same effect as marijuana or as alcohol.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day! The Sean Kennedy warning from the Internet for Monday, December the 13th, 2010. Not too many shows left this year, and you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG global sit-rep on corporate political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too! Free speech still means something, isn't that right, WikiLeaks? Oh, shit! Everybody got arrested! But you can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast. See, you can say you can have a free podcast, you can say stuff, provided it's not important stuff. You see, that's the game. But this is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can get us on Second Life, Node Archers, 1-55-74-666. And with us tonight, we have, inside of Second Life, Morps, Dark One, Sun Killer, Cars, Yugosaki, Agent Dak, Eva, Balls, Bash, Seerdark, Xerxes, Denim, Hero Choi, Jonas Vincent, Lachlan Dark Matter, Max the Toking Cat, and Rashnok. So, pretty good to see everyone here tonight, but, you know, hey, what can you do? So, normally, I have a beautiful and talented co-host, which makes the show so much easier for me to go through, because I can talk to him and make fun of the fact that he's a vegan. But Sim's in the hospital. Actually, he's collapsed in a vegan fit, and he hasn't been eating enough protein. So eventually, he's too weak to do the show, is what's gone on. So I'm hoping that he'll get better and that he will be able to do his own show. But as I understand it, he's actually collapsed under his own veganness and is now, you know, his body's slowly consuming itself as he wastes away to nothing. Sim has been a staunch vegan now for 10 years, and I've been trying to give him bacon shakes, but he doesn't listen. So, you know, hey, that's just it, man. If you're not here for the show, I'm going to tell everybody you've collapsed because you're a vegan. I don't care what's really happening, but everybody's going to get that you collapsed because you're a vegan. Let's not forget that we are simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And it's always good to have radio transmissions like that, isn't it? Don't we just take that shit for granted? You know, WikiLeaks is everything! everywhere. Everyone's talking about free speech now and what's going on and whether or not free speech is a good idea. And isn't it convenient that Simi isn't here? Isn't it convenient? Well, so we got the big WikiLeaks thing on the go. He's given himself up for sex in Sweden without a rubber to the chick who's actually a CIA asset who, you know, has now claimed that he's, you know, raped her or whatever the fuck it is that's going on over there. I mean, you got to be high to believe that actually that's what this is about. Clearly, you know, the guy is dumping all kinds of raw data into the internet. Boom! There it is. You want to see it? There it is. Wham! It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it's come to this and he's releasing it, but it's better that he's releasing it now before things get really, really out of hand, I guess. Now, I think that the truth is a beautiful thing. It will set you free. And it's funny because people always talk about that big JFK speech he made, you know, the whole free secrecy is repugnant in a free and democratic society. And they love to play that. But, you know, he's the same guy who made the Navy SEALs and then lied about it. His own special operations team he created. You know, so I guess from a tactical standpoint, you have to have some secrets. You know what I mean? Like if you've got a spy service whose job it is to give your country the edge, well, that's not really a play nicely in the sandbox kind of thing, is it? I mean, you can't really have a competitive edge and be trying to screw over all the other nations. You know, you see what I'm like, if you're trying to have a competitive edge, you're trying to get one up on the rest of the nations, right? So how can you claim to be, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, when in reality, you're just, you know, trying to get an edge up on everybody else? And some people think that, you know, it's naive. It's totally naive to think that we could live in a society where people get along and they try to work together and things like that, which I don't think so. I don't think that's super naive. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. We just passed John Lennon's anniversary, John Lennon's death. Got shot, old Johnny boy did there. Now he's gone, 30 years ago. But he was the guy talking about, you know, imagine all the people living life in peace and all that kind of jazz. Well, unfortunately, the major problem there is you got people. And people are pretty much, you know, just about two steps up from aquatic monkeys. Really, maybe not even two steps. Probably just really one step up from aquatic monkeys. And, you know, all you got to do is look at Black Friday shopping to realize that, yeah, you know what? You know, I can see why these doomsday cults, they sit back and they go, you know what? Humanity's too sick to survive. So what do? We isolate, we try to make small groups, we take joy in sunrises, you know, a cigarette, or we drink a bottle of bourbon and we think it's great, you know, good sex, what have you. But we try to get whatever joy we can out of our lives, because secretly, a lot of us kind of believe that everything is broken and everything's going to be destroyed eventually, so there's not much really much point in even trying. And that's a very safe way to think, because that alleviates you from trying. You don't have to try, because screw it. You know? But a guy like WikiLeaks comes along, well, Julian there, and he comes along with WikiLeaks and starts dumping all this information out for everybody to see. Stuff that we've talked about for years. Some hacker pulling it off. I mean, you know, the guy, he's so perfect for it. He almost makes you think that he is, like, working for somebody. I mean, he's quite the character. He's got the blonde hair there. He looks like a James Bond supervillain. He's a pretty neat guy. You know, and now he's dumping all this information out there. Mind you, he's keeping some in reserve, and people are now like, well, you know, is he really about free speech? Because he didn't put everything out there. He just put some of it out there. Now he's using it like to be an information rock star. Well, he's got a lot of power over information, so yeah, it's going to corrupt him a little bit. You know, he's going to try to cover his own ass and everything, and everybody's trying to lock him up and destroy him. Well, you know, what did he think was going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, what honestly did you think was going to happen? I mean, you're aware that there's espionage. Everybody's aware of that. And you start dumping people's secrets. That's a leak in the bucket. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to plug the leak, aren't they? That's what they're going to do. And they're going to do whatever it takes to plug that leaf. If that means killing somebody, that means killing someone. If it means framing someone for rape, it means framing someone for rape. I mean, they're trying to lock down so nobody can get near it. There's no DNS that'll bring you to WikiLeaks, so you can't read these things. They're trying to get, you know, all kinds of press to go out there. But what is this really about? See, we're supposed to be really happy about all these cameras that are going everywhere, all over the planet. Everything's getting covered with cameras. so that they can watch us in real time, but some guy releases memos that supposedly our leaders, who are supposed to be all great and powerful and the highest of regards, send back and forth to each other, and whoa, the camera's off. You want to watch me? That's fine, but I get to watch you. And that's exactly what WikiLeaks is. Say what you want. I'll tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't help the people in power. And sometimes it's good to have a little bit that's unbalancing. Maybe it doesn't help you, but it sure doesn't help the people in power. And it's good to know what's going on. Your tax dollars are paying for this shit. Now, I'm not into, let's be really clear here. It's not actually WikiLeaks' fault. WikiLeaks doesn't go looking for this shit. People give it to them. Let's be really clear here. WikiLeaks is a board. All right, it's a website that people go to, give these people information so that they can post it. I mean, when WikiLeaks came out, I was kind of like, okay, well, that's a neat idea, but I don't think anything, like, no one's going to just, you know, why would anyone do that? Why would people? So don't get mad at the guy who's posting it. Why don't you stop your people from leaking documents? Because it's all over the place. There's no security. I mean, just because, like, this is indicative, you know, try to ban the internet because people are sloppy. This is, it's just kind of like you follow that edge along, and that's where we wind up with. Now, personally, I think this is going to unfold as follows. I think our boy Julian there is going to wind up dead, is what I think is going to happen. I don't think he's ever getting out of jail. That'll be it for him. They'll make a real example out of this guy. And they'll probably martyr the hell out of him, and he'll turn into, the, you know, one of the rock stars of our generation. But he'll be dead. I'll come out and say it. Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it out. I hope he does. I mean, it's gotten so far beyond him now that it's, you know, there's global consequences coming up. And maybe this is going to be, I think it's not a bad thing that this has happened. I think that this is a good thing. And if nothing else, it forces, you know, people to look behind the curtain and consider the fact that, yeah, how much secrecy is there? What really is going on with these people? Hey, is it true that we're helping people have sex with children in Afghanistan? Is that true? Is that something we're doing? And why is that? Oh, because it's legal to have sex with children in Afghanistan. In fact, it's part of their culture. Oh, shit! And if you start talking about stuff like that, where you say, what do you mean, there's a country where it's part of their culture to have, like, to rape children? And you start to say, to have that knowledge bears a certain amount of responsibility. You have to do something about that, don't you? But if we can live in a vacuum without a world like WikiLeaks, and we can all watch Fox News and Hollywood Squares and whatever else they want to feed us, reruns of Gilligan's Island, then we can all claim that we're just, you know, happy, shiny people going about our lives. And we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything about it. But then, you know, WikiLeaks is there dumping out the truth, whatever it may be. Here it is. This is what happened. Well, you shouldn't be saying that. Why? Why shouldn't you tell the truth? People take oaths to tell the truth. The truth is all we got. That's it. Beauty is truth, and truth is beauty. All we know, all we need to know. The truth. Not much can be done. I've got secrets, for sure. I got secrets. You got secrets. Everybody's got secrets. Everybody's got things that they would rather keep private. I understand that. But there are things. This isn't about, you know, somebody's kink or whether or not somebody like Tiger Woods is cheating on their wife. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about things that hurt hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people. We're talking about events that go on behind closed doors that affect the lives of the global population. We're talking about the true blue Alex Jones, Georgia Guidestones, Illuminati, Bilderberg kind of stuff. And if we could get that kind of information so we could actually know what's going on, maybe we could learn the rules of the game and we can all work together to try to make the planet a better place. I don't know. You know, some may call me a dreamer, but I am not the only one. I got some feedback, though. Dear Sean! Oh, hey, word on the grapevine is that people are starting to get robbed after leaving airports. Now that we have people carrying very valuable identification and materials stepping out of airports unarmed and unable to defend themselves. Rather odd consequence for a higher security makes them all the defenses insanely counterproductive. Airline safety issue has just been made worse. I wonder if that's true. This sounds too incredible to me to actually be true. I can't imagine that people are getting robbed outside of airports. If I can get a link on that, because that sounds like that's just nuts. to me. I'd like to get a link. So if anyone's got a news story on that, could you set me up, whoever sent that one in? Thanks so much. Greetings, O ye fine people of Rant Media. I was wondering if you guys had any plans for making an Armies of the Flying Monkeys symbol flag. Leviticus wants to know. Well, the trick to this is, you see, whether or not Sim actually listens to this show. Which he might. He might. He's got a lot of free time on his hands. But by the time this show gets on the air, you see, it'll be too late. So what you want to do is, if you want an Army of the Flying Monkey flag, which is pretty cool, we only have the Rant flags, but, you know, if you want an Army of the Flying Monkey banner or flag or something like that, I'm sure he'd be into it. He just want to make sure that, you know, there's enough entrants. We can't make one if we're only going to sell one, right? If we can sell, like, 50 of them, then yeah, probably. But, I mean, that's just the economics of it, right? So, sorry. Not at this time, but, you know, I don't see any reason why not. If you want one, info@rantradio.com. It's a pretty badass logo, though, I gotta say. So let's get into some news, because that's what the show's all about, is the news, right? Slave State News! This is why I'm happy about Radio 99. Because down in Brunei, it's not so much free radio going on down there. The Authority for Info Communications Technology Industry, the AITI, and the Royal Brunei Police Force yesterday joined forces in conducting a roadblock in Sekrong to inspect and ensure that amateur radio operators or ham radio enthusiasts are following the correct procedures and regulations. Now, of course, everyone's like, Brunei? Why are you talking about Brunei? Because there's people there, and they're living under an oppressive regime. And if you want to know what... See, people in the West, we've totally forgotten what oppressive regimes are really like. So this is what it's like over there. Now, we take things like radio... But shit, man, we take things like cell phones and iPhones for granted. These guys are just trying to get information, and like, do you know how to use a ham radio? Because I don't. I could probably figure one out pretty quick, and I'm sure you could too, but right now, I don't know how to use one. And these guys are putting themselves in danger just to use a ham radio. We want to make sure that there are no Lanuns, pirate radios around, because they do not know that what rules we have implemented, says the AITI Acting Enforcement Officer Moosh Rashid Haj Salamat. AITI has appointed a particular bandwidth, 144 to 148 megahertz, to be used for amateur radio purposes. But unlicensed operators could disrupt communications among government agencies, police, and military, potentially operating within those bands, said Moosh Rashid. So, you know, it's funny. They use the same justification in all the first world nations. Well, you're going to interfere and cause problems, you know. Mind you, they don't set up roadblocks, and they're not, like, trying to gather, you know, beat the bushes. Because, I mean, if WikiLeaks information was getting around and they wanted to shut it down, that's what they do. They do this exactly the same thing. So you see, what this slave state Burundi is doing is exactly the same thing that our governments are doing with WikiLeaks. Exactly the same thing. I'll just scale it up. Scale it up. Exactly the same thing. You know, we don't want to know the truth. What happened to being the good guys? What happened to Disney? Huh? You know, what happened to, like, being the good guys? Higher ideals. Well, that's unrealistic. Yeah, it is unrealistic, but why don't we just try it? Why don't we just try to be the good guys? I know Lost Cause, kind of crazy, but let's just try it, you know? Shit! You did this wrong! Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, did that wrong. You betcha. But, you know, I mean, I'm trying. Nobody's perfect. Reminds me of something. What's this reminding me of? I'm not really too sure. But that's interesting that, you know, as the rest of the world's screaming about WikiLeaks, yet right there in this little tiny country, people are being locked down and being denied access to information. So, let's get into some other leaks. U.S. Space Agency. Now, WikiLeaks is not the only way that you get information. Okay, there's all kinds of information being leaked out, other than just WikiLeaks. And this is a prime example of that. The U.S. Space Agency, NASA, has been left red-faced after selling off computers without ensuring that highly sensitive data had been removed. Now, how fucking retarded do you gotta be to sell your shit without scrubbing it? Derek Sputin Nuke, thank you very much. An internal investigation found 10 cases where PCs were sold despite failing data removal procedures. Another 4 PCs, which were said to be sold, were found to contain data restricted under arms control rules. The computers were being sold off as NASA winds down its space shuttle operations. The last shuttle flight is scheduled for June 2011. Now this is really sad. Okay, this is really, really sad that we're just abandoning going to space as a government. I know it's good that you know, private enterprise is taking over and we're trying to get to space. And what's important here is that we get to space. But I'm just saying, I would have rather NASA did it. You know, they've got such a proud heritage and everything. And I like NASA, you know. Sure, there's some leadership problems over there, but there's a lot of really bright people down there at NASA. And I don't know. Would it be really be so hard? Do we really need that many fucking bombers? Really? You know, is the extra 22 going to make the difference? Or how about we just one of them, hey? We'll just cut it off. You know, some Air Force generals just fucking make it happen, man. Just funnel that cash over. Get it into NASA so we get some pros. Fuck it. Let's get a slush fund up. You know, whatever. Channel it in there. We got to get some money for these guys because it's kind of sad that NASA, which is such a great agency, which has brought so much to the world, is just, you know, being left to rot like this. But, you know, I guess it's what's happening. And, of course, you know, that they've got the problem of selling off their kit. Sorry, a bit of a tirade there, but I feel bad about that, you know? It's sad. They've uncovered the issues at Kennedy, Johnson, Ames, Langley Research Centers. In some cases, tests were not being run to confirm the computers had been wiped. Investigations also found that some PCs had failed those verification tests and were still being put up for sale. Now, this is just complacency, right? It's just laziness. That's what that is people who don't give a shit. And they got called on it. Which is kind of sad, really, because, you know, I don't know, I kind of like NASA. I think NASA's pretty cool. Which leads us directly into some space news that is a little bit more positive. Maybe this is why NASA lost the space program, because they couldn't get their shit together. There was too much infighting. And there's somebody said for that, believe me. It's one thing I hate, it's when you got too many cooks in the kitchen. Maybe if we have something that's privately driven, something with people putting money behind it, people trying to make money, you got the real smart people making decisions because it's their cash on the line. It never works a little differently when it's their cash on the line. In space news, the first commercial spacecraft to return from a low Earth orbit splashed into the Pacific Ocean on Wednesday, about 500 miles off the coast of Southern California, exactly 8 days ago. The Dragon, a craft developed by the company SpaceX, was concluding a brief but possibly historic flight for the infant commercial space travel industry. The vehicle hit the water shortly after 2 p.m. Eastern Time, a little more than 3 hours after liftoff from the Kennedy Space Center, Cape Canaveral, Florida, atop Falcon 9 rocket. Before splashing down, the Dragon orbited the Earth more than 17,000 miles per hour. Only six nations or government agencies have recovered the spacecraft from low Earth orbit: the United States, Russia, China, Japan, India, and the European Space Agency. Wednesday's landing was also the first flight under NASA's Commercial Orbiter Transportation Systems program. The program aims to develop commercial supply services to the international space community. Those new explorers are to spaceflight what Lindenberg was to commercial aviation. This is what the NASA administration, Charles Bolden, praised. He said on Wednesday, while rocket launches from the Cape are considered a common occurrence, the historic significance of today's achievement from SpaceX should not be lost. So, I guess we're going to space in a private capacity. And this is pretty cool. I mean, there's no two ways about it, man. Like, if I could, are you kidding me? If I could get into the space program, that'd be the way to go. But, I mean, it's pretty hard, dude. It's pretty hard to get in there. But, hey, you know, live the dream. Shoot for it. What the hell? If nothing else, you wind up becoming a pilot, but geez, you know, if we could get a little bit more industry going in space, maybe being an astronaut wouldn't be such a crazy thing. You know, it'd be like people who could fly. It wasn't so long ago that nobody even thought about flying. Like, it wasn't even an idea. Now we can get all over the world. Like, the Titanic and disasters like it don't need to happen anymore because we can just fly there rather than taking this massive ship and putting all this lives at risk. But, you know, then you've got the other problems of things like the Twin Towers and all the rest of it, but, you know, then that opens another can of worms. Anyways, what we got here, though, is we definitely got some people going to space with a private capacity, which I think, groovy! So that's good. That's a good thing. But, you know, we got some bad news in the show, mostly about the Gulf Seafood. Now, this Gulf Seafood thing is the next news story, which is kind of upsetting me. Now, those of you who haven't been living under a rock know that there's been the worst oil spill in human history. happened in the Gulf. And this is because we popped a hole in the bottom of the ocean and started dumping out millions and millions, untold millions of gallons of crude oil into the Gulf. And now that, you know, is a natural thing. I mean, say what you want about the crude oil, but it occurs naturally in nature. We've dumped a bunch of stuff into nature. We've moved it from one height to another height. Definitely, we've fucked it up, but it's a natural thing. The problem is that they've got all these chemicals that they were pumping into the oil to kind of mix it with the oil to disperse it. Well, not really to disperse, just make it heavier so you couldn't see it from the air. So the optics weren't so bad. But the problem is, you see, this dispersant to stuff was actually illegal, and you weren't supposed to use it as a dispersant. But they used it anyway. As a matter of fact, they used all of it because it was a toxic substance. They couldn't get rid of it, so they just dumped it, used this as an opportunity to dump it into the ocean. So it's now going into the ocean, and we don't know what the hell it's going to do. So we've got these massive amounts of extremely toxic chemicals that we've dumped into the Gulf, and this is going to go somewhere. And it's going to be consumed by the sea life. Like, it's going to go somewhere. Maybe it won't be consumed by the sea life, in which case it will go into the ground. But it's going to go somewhere. So let's not, like, where did... So let's be real here. There is untold millions of gallons of this crude mixed with this highly, highly toxic illegal chemicals in the Gulf. So let's go for the Gulf Seafood Update. Now, as we know, I covered a story last week where I was talking about, hey, the Gulf, you know, the food in there, they're all saying, no, it's fine. Anyone who says anything bad about it is like, no, the Gulf food is not fine. And the government's like, shut up, the Gulf food is fine. And the private press is going, no, I think there's a problem. No, you're unpatriotic. No, I just don't want to see people get killed, man. Like, I'm sorry that happened in the Gulf and stuff. And I'm sorry that, you know, people are, you know, going to be losing their livelihoods and shit. But I'm not going to, you know, watch children die because you think that you're worried about the economy. That's not happening. But apparently, Navy Secretary Ray Mabus, who doubles as President Obama's point man on the Gulf Coast oil spill recovery, is pressing America's armed services to consume as much Gulf seafood as possible. Awesome! Let's give it to the Army. Now, never mind the fact that, what if it is toxic? Boy, do I ever really want to poison my Army. I mean, why do we even need enemies when you got bosses like that? Never mind that whole angle on it. Can you screw over your service people anymore, America? Can you really, can you just give them a little bit more? Never mind stop loss, never mind these back-to-back contracts in Iraq, never mind you don't pay these guys shit, never mind there's like zero PTSD going on, never mind any of that. The suicide rate is through the roof, okay? Epic levels of suicides going on. Let's poison them with toxic shellfish. Fuck yeah! Good deal. In a meeting on Monday with Ilo Smith, executive director in the Louisiana Seafood Promotion and Marketing Board, Mabus reaffirmed his commitment to using the tools at his disposal to help the Gulf seafood industry the Gulf seafood industry recover from the damage the BP oil spill has done in reality and perception. Reality and perception. The board is gearing up for a large-scale national marketing campaign with $30 million in BP money and millions more in federal dollars to reassure restaurants and markets across the country that Gulf seafood is safe. Why don't you put that research into, like, finding out whether or not the Gulf seafood really is safe? He expressed what we wanted to hear. He's in favor of the federal government buying seafood from the Gulf, said Smith, who said he would like to see the Gulf seafood as the choice throughout the public domain, whether it's the military or prison systems or school systems. Oh, the prison systems. Of course. Well, you can bet that, you know, if they're giving it to the Army and they're trying to find places within the government that they can flog this stuff for cheap and stimulus package, you can bet this is going to be going into the prisons. So, and in schools as well. So I'd probably stay away from seafood for a little bit. Like maybe the next 10 years, because that's really sick to me that you're poisoning, you have the potential of poisoning your military in this way. This is just insane. BP is giving the Louisiana Marketing Board $30 million to spend over the next 3 years to promote Gulf seafood, $10 million a year. And Smith, said a request for proposal from agencies that would craft the marketing campaign will be going out shortly. The Louisiana Board will be getting a share of the $15 million Commerce Department has given the Gulf State Marine Fisheries Commission to divide among the Louisiana Board with its sister groups in other Gulf states, including Texas. Ralph Hote, Fisheries Disaster Recovery Coordinator for the Commission, said the money will be used for direct marketing, web-based marketing, support testing, and efforts in the state to ensure the quality and safety of the seafood, and helping fishers to have the produce certified by the Marine Stewardship Council coming from a sustainable fishery. Last year, can be an invaluable marketing tool. Walmart, for example, plans to buy all of its wild-caught fresh and frozen fish from MSC-certified fisheries beginning next year. Isn't that interesting? So, the seafood Walmart will have to be MSC-certified. And what do you want to bet to promote people eating Gulf seafood? Most of the Gulf seafood is going to get MSC-certified. So does that mean that you're going to be, oh, goody. You know, Walmart, boy, you know, it's nice to know what, you know, my eventual overlords are going to have me doing, because I think when they finally take over, that's probably where they're going to put me. I'm going to be announcing stuff in a Walmart. I'll be the guy up there saying, good morning, Walmart shoppers. My name is Sean Kennedy. I've been strapped to a spine board. I cannot actually take my own life. So, keeping with boredom so they don't tase me, I'm going to read the announcements. And that'll be, you know, how it goes. But anyway, I guess Walmart is going to be getting their fish from there. Smith said the industry is facing a kind of chicken and egg, or perhaps a fish and roe conundrum, in getting back on its feet after the BP spill. In combination, Smith says, you got people who aren't wanting Gulf seafood in other parts of the country, and that's throwing the market a little sideways. And the fishermen, sensing that, are wondering if they're going to have a place to sell to. When the number of fishers back in the water have risen in the past month, Smith, only 40-50% of the fleet is back on the job, which he's blamed on the uncertainty surrounding the claims process being administered by Kenneth Freeberg and continuing market concerns among fishers. Then, with less supply, Smith said, some demand goes unmet and buyers look elsewhere, perhaps not to return for some time, if ever. We're losing continuity of supply in the marketplace, and as a result, Smith said, we lose our market share across the country. Yeah, still unanswered questions about the long-term effect of the oil spilled and the dispersants used to break it up. I'm surprised I haven't even gotten to this story. Effects that might not show up for years. We don't know what the answer is. I don't think there's a scientist who could give you a definitive answer, said Smith. Well, shit, if you don't know the answer and the scientists don't know, let's just gargle with radiation. You know, honestly, it's like to try to wrap your head around this. I guess everybody wants to get paid. I guess everybody wants to get paid, and we all sell out a little bit, don't we? When we, you know, we get a Starbucks coffee or whatever, you know, we all sell out just a little bit. We all have our big hate on for ourselves. Unless you're like Sam, who can be all, you know, religious about it. But I don't know about you, I like my sins. I like my steaks. I like my Starbucks, and I'm not a bad guy. I try to do what I can. What the hell? I think that's all you can really do, right? It's the P90X thing. Do your best, forget the rest. I think that's all you really can do, but looking at this kind of a thing here, where you're actually with full knowledge that you might be selling toxic food to children in schools, honestly, like, at some point you gotta wonder how far you're willing to go when it's not really about you anymore, and maybe there's something bigger than that, or I don't know, maybe I'm naive, but I kind of believe in trying to be a good guy. Now, there's this thing called the Hot Watch. I didn't know about this, but while the rest of the planet's going crazy about WikiLeaks, they got stories like this bundling out about the Hot Watch list. Now listen to this. This is fantastic. This is why I don't like loyalty cards, gift cards, any of that shit. And it's a good idea to pay with cash. In Hot Watch. Oh, if you pay with cash, though, you can expect to be reported. But anyway. Federal law enforcement agencies have been tracking Americans in real time, as it happens, using credit cards, loyalty cards, and travel reservations without getting a court order, a new document released under a government sunshine request shows. The document, obtained by security researcher Christopher Sogenheim, explains how so-called hot watch orders allow for real-time tracking of individuals and a criminal investigation via credit card companies, rental car agencies, calling cards, and even grocery store loyalty programs. The revelation sheds a little more light on the Justice Department's increasing power and willingness to surveil Americans with little to no judicial or congressional oversight. For credit cards, agents can get real-time information on a person's purchases by writing their own subpoenas, followed up by an order from a judge that surveillance not be disclosed. Agents can also go the traditional route, going to a judge, proving probable cause, and getting a search warrant, which means the target will eventually be notified they were spied upon. The document suggests that the normal practice is to ask for all historical records on an account from an individual from a credit card company, since getting stored records is generally legally easy. The agent sends a request for any and all records and information relating directly or indirectly to any and all ongoing and future transactions or events relating to any and all following persons, entities, account numbers, addresses, and other matters, and it gets them a live feed of the transactional data. It's not clear what standards an agent would have to follow to get a hot watch order. The Justice Department told Solgine the document is the only one it could find relating to hot watches, which means there is either no policy or the department is withholding relevant documents. The Justice Department did not return a call for comment. Huh! Hot watch! Well, I mean, this is why I sort of believe that, you know, we're all under total constant surveillance. That's why it renders these kinds of stories sort of irrelevant. You know, really, I report them just to reinforce the point that, yes, you're totally under surveillance. Yes, we're in a hamster cage. Okay, here we are. No, I'm still in the Matrix. No, you're not in the Matrix. You're a battery. Okay? That's the nice thing about the Matrix, is once you're outside the Matrix, you can take a pill and be like, ding, here I am. You really can't deny the Matrix, but, like in the Matrix, your brain will pop if it happens too quickly. So, you know, for those of us out there that aren't so incredibly jaded and cynical, realizing that we're actually totally slaves now, there are other people who need to get woken up so we can try to make things a little bit better. And that's what these stories are for. So once again, understand that everything you do is being watched. Everything you do is being watched. Online, cameras are everywhere. We got satellite surveillance. I got cameras watching cameras. So just understand this. And this little tidbit of a story about the hot watch just means is more evidence of, yeah, it's going on. Yeah, it's totally legal. Which, I mean, does that even matter anymore? Does that even matter anymore? What is legal? What does that mean? If something is illegal, I mean, shit, is it even legal in every country? You know, that WikiLeaks document came out that there's child sex is part of the culture in Afghanistan. And that's now on the forefront. There's guys coming back who are witnessing this stuff who are totally fucked up. Like, they are totally fucked up because they can't do anything about it. Well, they could, but, I mean, they'll go to jail, you know. And this is all part of the problem. It's pretty amazing. You know, it's pretty amazing that the kind of ugliness that comes out when people tell the truth, isn't it? I tell ya. Well, here's a little bit of truth for you. Here's a bit of technology that kind of scares the shit out of me. Okay? Because when the people with the money, right? We all know that who's got the money? Families. Families got the money. No matter how you cut this, there's businesses, right? But businesses don't exist. Businesses are pieces of paper with ink dots on them. Okay? Backed by a system that enables people to have control. So what people have control? Well, they're families. Families. Powerful, rich, and powerful families that still marry their kids off, just like they did back in the day, whose actually their lives are quite sad, actually, to be honest with you. Yeah, okay, they all got nice cars and everything, but they don't enjoy them because they see no value in them. I mean, if you grew up with a Ferrari, you don't really care that it's a Ferrari. It's like, who gives a shit? And they're totally controlled. Their lives are completely dictated to them. Because, you know, they don't have any skills or trades, so their lives get explained to them by their parents, and that's how they live. That's what it is, and it's sick. But the thing that makes me really terrified about this is, of course, these families, we have this finite life cycle, don't we? Where, you know, people get old and they die. That's probably a good thing, because otherwise, you know, these families, I mean, at least they're transitioning from the older generation to the younger generation, so there's hope that maybe things will get better. But if things stop getting better. And that's why this next story really freaks me out. In Cyber Lich News, scientists claim to be a step closer to reversing the aging process. Listen to this. After rejuvenating worn-out organs in elderly mice. The experiment treatment developed by researchers at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, Harvard Medical School, turned weak and feeble old mice into healthy animals by regenerating their aged bodies. That's a pretty complex organism right there. The surprise recovery of the animals has raised hopes among scientists that it may be possible to achieve a similar feat in humans, or at least slow down the aging process for a price. An anti-aging therapy could have some dramatic impact on public health by reducing the burden of age-related health problems, such as dementia, stroke and heart disease, and prolonging the quality of life for an increasingly aged, rich population. Because, you know, people who are working at, like, Denny's don't really want to have their lives extended. You know, they're never really going to get ahead, and they know that. They're so far in debt, everyone's a slave. So who do you think this is for? What we saw in these animals were not a slowing down or a stabilization of the aging process. We saw a dramatic reversal, and that was unexpected, said Ronald DiPino, who led the study, which was published in the Journal of Nature. This is at Harvard, man. This is some serious shit. It could lead to strategies that enhance the regenerative potential of organs as individuals age, and so increase the quality of life. Whether it serves to increase longevity is a question we are not yet in a position to answer. Well, it's not going to hurt it. The aging process is poorly understood. That's interesting. That's interesting. The aging process is poorly understood. I mean, you'd think that this would be one of the most well-understood processes knowing. You know, I mean, really. But scientists know it's caused by many factors. Highly reactive particles called free radicals are made naturally in the body and cause damage to cells, while smoking, ultraviolet light, and other environmental factors contribute to aging. The Harvard group focused on processes called telomere shortening. Most cells in the body, blah, 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 blah. So they went on about the test and they were, you know, handing it back. I'm not going to get into a bunch of bio. But so that's what they're doing. Now, I wonder how long it's going to be, because they're setting up to try this on monkeys now, and they're going to be moving up the line. So, you know, never mind the fact that, well, it's not going to be okay for human testing. Well, yeah. All right, but this information, this data, which is worth a lot of cash, should that be made available for free so people in China can take it? I mean, is that, like, the information, the intellectual property? Is there any right to ownership on information like that? Like, if we discover there's a way that you can take someone's youth and give it to an old person. Like, you could take a young person, take all their blood and stuff, and make an old person young. There's a technique for doing that. Would you want that information out there? Would you want people to know that? I mean, I don't know. Because I would think about what would happen once that knowledge gets around. Knowing human nature, how would people react with that information? Interesting conundrum. You look at that sort of thing, well, you know, is there things that man was not yet meant to know? Well, there's stuff that probably man was not yet meant to know, but maybe not man was meant to know, and who means it anyway? But you look at ideas like this in this sort of darkness where they're talking about, you know, people slowly becoming immortal, and then you wind up with these, like, 900-year-old kind of, like, cronies who are running the show and we're all, like, slaves, and it looks like a Richard Morgan book. You know, it gets a bit wild there, which is a nice segue into my next story, which is not about really crazy stuff. It's kind of a pharma fascist story, but it's an anti pharma fascist story about weed. Yep, pot. Sent in by Leviticus, the active ingredient in marijuana cuts tumor growth in common lung cancer. So, hang on. This is the opening line of this. The active ingredient in marijuana cuts tumor growth in common lung cancer in half and significantly reduces the ability of the cancer spread, say researchers at the Harvard University who tested the chemical, both lab and mouse studies. They say this is the first set of experiments to show the compound delta tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, inhibits EGF-induced growth and migration in epidermal growth. The fatal receptor, or factor receptor, the EGFR, expressed on non-small cell lung cancer cell lines. Lung cancers that overexpress EGFR are usually highly aggressive and resistant to chemotherapy. THC targets the cannabinoid receptors, CB1 and CB2, in a similar function to endocannabinoids, which are cannabinoids that are naturally produced in the body and activate these receptors. These researchers suggest that THC and other designed agents that activate these receptors might be used to target a fashion to treat lung cancer. Maybe, you know, hey, wow, glad you got a PhD on that one. You smoke this stuff and your cancer is cut in half. Maybe we can use that to treat cancer. Oh, fuck, you think? Really? You know, but it's kind of sad because all these studies have been done and done and done to death. It's the easiest revolutionary study that's never going to get heard of. Because it's been done before, man. There's all kinds. There's that book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Check it out. crazy information in that book about all these crazy things that you can do with pot. It's nuts. I mean, you don't have to be like a pothead to appreciate that you can make gasoline out of this stuff. I mean, it blows my mind that people don't capitalize on this. Like, you could end national debt. You could end that stuff. There's all kinds of ways you could do it. I don't understand what's going on here. Unless, of course, we don't understand the rules of the game. Unless, of course, there's factors in play that we don't comprehend that's suppressing this kind of information. And the only way we'd even have a chance of getting that information, not to go full circle on you again, would be to, make sure that we got things like WikiLeaks out there. I'm just saying. So yeah, apparently, yet another study that says that weed is actually got a whole bunch of medicinal uses and doesn't actually kill you. But feel like you're kind of preaching to the choir sometimes. However, we got to make sure that people understand that. So, or maybe on the off chance that if you've got lung cancer, or as they say, common lung cancer, well, there you should probably check out that story and make some decisions, because I don't know, man, that's pretty heavy stuff coming out of Harvard over there. These are the same guys that were doing, anti-aging stuff, so interesting stuff. In robot takeover news from Bruo, for age, Marge is pretty smart. She can find misspelled words. She taught herself that Barclays is a bank, Strata is a restaurant, and both are in the UK. She's even smart enough to read the New York Times and the BBC Online, and soon she will take her first steps, more accurately, her first rotations, into the real world. Even though she's young and has a lot to learn, Marge isn't a child. She's a robot developed by UK scientists that can read and learn in the real world. Her creators, Ingmar Posner and Paul Newman at the University of Oxford, along with their collaborator, Peter Cork at the Queensland University of Technology, hope that Marge, and future versions of Marge, could navigate through the real world using the same words and phrases that humans use. Text spotting is hard because text is such a variable thing, said Newman. It appears in so many guises, in so many places, and in so many sizes, and of course, in the real world, is full of reflections, occlusions, etc. To a literate human, reading is a simple matter. If a word changes side or the lighting in the room changes, you don't instantly become illiterate. That's because the human brain can make interruptive leaps of logic, said Edward Grant, director of the Center of Robotics and Intelligent Machines at North Carolina State University. The brain says, "I've done something kind of like this before, and I can adapt to this new activity that has been presented to me," said Grant. A robot, or more specifically, the mathematical algorithms installed on the robot that act as its brain, can't make that intuitive leap. For a robot, a change in the angle, lighting, and size means they have to learn to read all over again. Because of this limitation, a reading robot, or robot literacy as we come to think of it, is usually found in the lab, while light and angle and other variables remain a constant, unchanging, so the robot doesn't get confused. Well, that's pretty good. Let's just teach robots how to read. What could possibly go wrong there? Oh, wait! Let's give it the Bible. Or Quran. Ooh, man. Dude, could you imagine? That's like totally, you get these robots and they decide that they're like actually the children of God. There's got to be like a whole ocean of science fiction written on that. But yeah, I guess they're getting robots to read, which is, to be more accurate, what they're doing is they're getting an AI program that can read. And that piece of software is what they're going to be putting on cell phones, what they're going to be using to operate as, well, kind of like a bit of a demon, if you go with the cyberpunk terms for it. Like a internet piece of... I believe they were either called daemons or demons or what have you. But there's a lot of interesting... What was the cyberpunk term for it? Or in Shadowrun, you had them. And they were like demon familiars in a cyberpunk world. That's how they were manifested. So maybe this is what this is, going to be kind of manifesting of. That idea is going to be expressed in the form of robots, or in this algorithm, and I'll then go back across into the software, the virtual world. But it'll be definitely interesting to see this kind of information applied to things like UAVs or ground vehicles, or whatever other robot overlords they decide to yoke us with to control us, like in Korea, which is part of our cyberpunk kit this afternoon. Yes, that's right, the good old robotic gun turrets, the Super Aegis 2. They've upgraded the ones in Korea. Now, I've reported on these gun turrets for a while, but of course, because North Korea is losing its fucking mind and deciding to start attacking people for no real good reason, I don't know why, a bunch of nice people with ski masks don't go solve the problem, but whatever. The Super Aegis II is an automated gun tower that can find and lock onto a human-sized target in pitch darkness at a distance of up to 1.36 miles, 2.2 kilometers. It uses a 35x CCD camera with enhanced features for bad weather in conjunction with a dual field of view autofocus infrared sensor to pick out targets. That brings the pain, either with a standard 12.7mm caliber machine guns, a 40mm grenade launcher, automatic grenade launcher, or whatever other weapon systems you want to bolt onto it, including surface-to-air missiles. A laser rangefinder can help calibrate aim, gyroscopic stabilizer helps correct both the video system's aim, and the direction of the gun's recoil pushes them off target. Each 140kg, 308-pound unit can be rigidly mounted or put on a moving vehicle, where gyro stabilization would be a huge asset. They can operate in fully autonomous mode, firing first and then asking questions later, or they can be put into manual mode for human intervention. All machines communicate back to headquarters through a LAN cable or wireless network. Well, first of all, I'd want to have this thing hardwired. I don't want this thing open for hacking. Thank you, no. While there's no word on whether the Super Aegis II has been deployed in the Korean DMZ in the wake of several recent incidents that threatened to push the peninsula into full-scale, potentially nuclear war, but DODAM has been exporting units as far afield as the United Arab Emirates. So it would seem that DODAM, the company that makes these things, are selling them all over the world. And this is an automated gun turret that can engage targets at range, okay, that is just being sold. Interesting. It'd be interesting to see how these things come to pass. I wonder if, you know, they're going to start putting these on ships to deal with pirates. Wouldn't that be interesting? It'd be an interesting way, you know, if you had something that, I bet you we'll probably see something like that show up pretty soon. That's a pretty interesting idea. It wouldn't want to have a misfire, though. Definitely wouldn't want to have a misfire. Now, I got a really cool daily hack, though. Today's daily hack is money. You're really, really going to like today's daily hack. It's a universal RFID card. Very cool. Sent in by Starling. Now, RFID projects have been pretty prominent recently, ranging from projects here in Instructables to our local Silicon Chip magazine, the Australian publishing RFID door lock project in November issue. Even I recently purchased an RFID door lock on eBay for $15 to lock my garage. We have known that cheaper RFID technologies were pretty insecure for a number of years. Reachers have demonstrated cloners in all their varieties, but simple RFID tags are still being used for access control. Even my current employer uses them. A while ago, I was looking at Hackaday, and I saw an amazing project that somebody had made. It was an RFID card with a keypad on it. For the next couple of days, I couldn't get the image of the card out of my mind. And the project reminded me of how much I wanted to build an RFID spoof for myself. The original author didn't release the source code for the project, but then left me enough clues that I could follow. So, in typical fashion, I built my own reader hardware so I could have a look at the data from the card and created my own version of the universal RFID key. The key I made works beautifully with both my garage door as well as a number of others I have tried. I have decided to publish this so more people should be aware of the design flaws that are inherent with older RFID implementations and allow others to make their own universal key. This will let you into anybody's RFID protected office. Yes, it will, assuming a couple things are true. You have to be using a 125 kHz RFID tag that uses the same encoding standards I've designed in the project, and you have to have access to the number printed on the back of the tag. With that number, you can simply key into the universal RFID key, and it will emulate that tag. So there you go. I hope you enjoy making this project, and remember, with great power comes great responsibility. So how about a little key to the city there for getting through RFID codes? Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Rant Media site. Or you can send an envelope to Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter or get in touch with Sim and wish him well and try to encourage him to eat more meat at info@rantradio.com. But if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And I'm going to fade out now with one of the tracks from my own collection, which I'm sure you will enjoy. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. And the truth is a beautiful thing. It's really all we've got. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
And the band played on as the helicopters whirred, drunk on the lawn in a nuclear dawn. My senses finally blurred. He was a rock to the end, a solid reminder. Couldn't deny a friend. We lived in the noise and the sweet amber poison, peeking up the skirt of the end. And we'd drink two gnarly dudes and some records. Much like plates of black food, we filled up our bases, saw some far places, stood on the roof in the new. And the band played on as the helicopters whirred, drunk on the lawn in a nuclear dawn. My senses finally blurred. Between poles, he said, we're like cows in the grass, rushing off flies, chaise lounging around, standing up, falling down, till we no longer opened our eyes. And we'd drink. Ever notice how drinking's like war? Cup of troops or the gums, to the end of our health, the campaign against myself. Armed with bourbons and scotches and rum, and the band played on as the helicopters whirred, drunk on the lawn in a nuclear dawn. My senses finally blurred. Think of bombs. We're poised on the edge of disaster. Whether it's right or it's wrong, we open the window, played some Nintendo, sang a few bars of some pretty old song.
Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you
in my dreams. Oh, to dream those impotent bones of extinction, flying graceful and free. None but the best, 'cause the man cannot rest till he's finally beaten his meat. Passed out on the sun deck that morning, quietly saying goodbye. But I was so hammered, I sputtered and stammered. Told him he couldn't just die. He was a rock. Went straight for his own Armageddon. Face frozen in a grin. Ambulance flying in. I never drank again. Can't really call that a loss or a win. And the band played on as the helicopter
My senses finally